Okay, we're up to Simon Kuf Aleph, the laws of Hachana. We're going back to the laws of Yom Tov. Hachana mi Yom Tov Rishon li Yom Tov Sheni Oy L'chol. Halacha Aleph, page Reish Samach Bey, Simon Kuf Aleph. Kol Hamalachas Hamutaros Lasos bi Yom Tov, Zeu Davko Letzerch Oso Hayom. All of the malachas that one is allowed to do on Yom Tov, specifically eating, anything that needs to be done for the food preparation, can only be done for the first day Yom Tov. If you have a 2-day Yom Tov, you're not allowed to prepare from one day to the next. Even on Rosh Hashanah, which we consider to be with regard to some matters, that's only a chumrah. It's only yom rechul chumrah, not lekula. When it results in a leniency, like for preparing from one day to the next day, then we view the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah to be 2 separate days, and you may not prepare from one day to the next day. When we call shekin liyom chol aser, and it goes without saying that you may not prepare on Yom Tov for Sunday for the day for the next day for Chol HaMoed or for day after Yom Tov. Ach. Now there is one exception. This exception is very limited, and that only when it comes to bishul, not when it comes to other types of food preparation. And when it comes to bishul, you only need to cook one piece of meat. You have only one guest, one piece of meat, but you want to find a solution in order I can cook today for tomorrow. You're allowed to add to the pot multiple pieces of meat, because technically, the more meat you put in the pot, the better each piece of meat tastes. So even though I only have one guest today, I only need one serving for today, and tomorrow I'm going to have 5 people, so I need a total of 6. 1 for today and 5 for tomorrow. You're allowed to put in the pot today 6 pieces of meat, even though you're really doing it to prepare for tomorrow, so I do not need to prepare for tomorrow. The meat will be ready for tomorrow. Being that putting 5 more pieces of meat into this pot will cause the 1 piece of meat that I want to eat now to taste better, because it will absorb the flavor from the other 5 pieces. This is the only legal loophole you have in order to prepare for today and for tomorrow. But when it comes to things that are not cooking, when it comes to, let's say, boiling a pot of water, a big pot of water, and I want to boil up the water, I want to make soup. I want to make soup for tomorrow. I only need today 1 portion, but I want to make 6 servings, because tomorrow I'm going to have 5 guests. So let me make the soup now. So soup is not something which adding more is going to make it better. I only need to cook a certain amount for today. Having a triple of 10 times the number of portions is not going to enhance the portion that I need for today. Only when it comes to cooking meat is this principle true, not when it comes to other types of food preparation. And therefore, if it's very obvious that you're doing this to prepare for tomorrow, it would be aser. This is the exception. Ba'ach uhu l'tzach l'vashel b'shvil hayoim, for today, mutar lo l'kachas kidera yoser gedoyla, a larger than pot than is necessary, ulamalois oisa basar, and to fill it up with many pieces of meat, duchayotze bo, afal pi she'en l'tzach hayom kol kach, even though you don't need today so much for today, v'yoser gam l'layla ulamacha, and it will be left over for tomorrow or for the next day.
You only, let's say, cooking, not baking.
Like I said, exactly, only cooking. That's what he said, only cooking. Now, the only time you have this principle to come to not baking, also, let's say it comes to the arts called Kitz Shulchan Aruch, he talks about them making blintzes, or making things which are individual, making individual portions. So, let's say you want to take out of the freezer, or you may want to make your own blintzes, cheese blintzes, potato blintzes. I only have today one guest. I only need 1 serving. Oh, but once I'm doing it already, I'll put on the pan 10 blintzes, and I'll put it in the oven. No, because since each one is completely separate, and there's no benefit by putting on a tray 20 blintzes, there's no benefit whatsoever. That's clearly something being done for the next day. It is awesome. But when it's one big pot, and it's gravy, and it's all mixed together, even though I only need the meat for tomorrow, but adding more pieces of meat into one big pot, the flavor from the extra pieces enhances the flavor of each individual piece. The one piece I'm going to eat today is going to taste better because there are multiple pieces in the pot. In that situation, it is mutter. That's what it says. Now you're not supposed to, if you can determine that making something larger is going to enhance even the small portion that you need for today, then it's mutter. But if making something larger is not going to enhance the quality of a smaller portion that you only need for today, then it would be a tircha yisera nizasa.
Let's say
If there's a reasonable expectation that you're going to need more than is 100% mutter. There's always, you go, you don't put out the tzimtzum, when you put out on the tray on the table, there's always going to be enough for doubles. So that's normal. That's what I need for today's meal. And whatever will be left over, so we'll use for tomorrow. Absolutely. But if there's no realistic expectation that someone's going to take more than this certain amount, and you're preparing one that's not going to enhance the quality of the food that you're going to eat today, then the kids Shulchan Aruch says that it is also.
What about if you can't make, let's say you want to have a roast? The roast is enough for 10 people. You only have
one. Then it's mutter. Then it's 100% mutter. That's the only way. That's
like
push it. Push it.
You don't have a recipe for less.
Then it's mutter. Then if there's no way, then it's mutter. Then it's definitely mutter. Yeah.
If you're serving not on the table, and it's much more conducive for eating if you have a plate with 10 pieces of kugel, then you're not ashamed. The guests are not ashamed to take it.
Then it's mutter. Then it's mutter.
Only 3 pieces because there are 3 people. Right. You won't want to take it.
But the guest is not going to come back next time. It's in some.
Right, so you're better off putting on the plate of big rice, even though rice for twice as much.
Dostoevsky's thing is very interesting. Some women only know how to make things
in
a certain size.
So L'chor B'motor. L'chor B'motor. Because they'll do that during the week.
So even I'm going to teach that to my wife. She makes 15 courses. And it's always left over.
Okay, let's see further. V'davka b'tavshul b'keder motor. V'nei she'hatavshul mutam yoyser, because a tavshul, a cooked dish, tastes better it tastes better when you cook a lot of meat together. But even when you do this, you make a large portion, you have to at least be careful that you don't explicitly say, I'm making 20 pieces of meat so that we'll have for tomorrow. If you're going to make 20 pieces of meat and automatically the one piece you're going to eat today is going to taste better, it's mutter. But you should not openly say that I'm making the 20 pieces for tomorrow.
There's a new thing in the market that I'm going to put on the market. Lily, he writes it, you put by the he
wants that we should eat this all up today. Ella Yivashal Stam. When it comes to other matters, also lohisif b'ldova sheyesh kitzas tircha b'mashu moisif. But when it comes to other types of things like baking, or when you make certain individual portions, like making a latka or making blintzes, so these things you only need to prepare exactly what you need. You have no right to make all the preparations today for tomorrow. Halacha. Halacha days. Halacha days. Even something which is not a malacha, it's carrying to bring water. You want to go bring wine for kiddush l'avdola. Also, lahachin, it's forbidden to bring up from the basement. Let's say I need to go to the basement. Right, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to put things in the refrigerator. There's no possibility that you're going to drink this today. If there's a possibility you're going to drink it today, or even let's say you don't want, but you will. I want to prepare some cold soda for tonight. I'm going to put it in the refrigerator. As long as you plan, when you have the solution is that during the day, later in the day, before you go to shul for mincha ma'ariv, you should take it out of the refrigerator and take a sip. That way, you will be done something for today. Day. So the chayin also. But if you're going to do something which is only going to be for the next, not even it's a matter of there's no malacha. I'm just going to the basement to bring up some wine, some water for the tonight. That is also the chayin. Also, lahamid asaneiros b'menorah. You're not allowed to set up the candles in the menorah. Or the sakin asapslus to smirsak to prepare the wicks, the hashveho hashishios, and the lantern b'yom tov rishon tzarchalayla in the morning for the night. Ela imhu tzarchal atashmish b'chem gam koyim alayla. Unless you need it for the day as well. So what he's alluding to over here, the way they explain this to the Archbishop Kisrach is that you have to remember in ancient times there was no electricity. So you come to shul, if you can daven mincha ma'arif, so we daven mincha, it's the light outside. It's light outside. But when it comes ma'arif, by the time it comes around, it's going to be pitch black dark. So do you have to wait until it gets dark to light the candles? Are you allowed to light the candles during mincha? When mincha is winding down, I want to light the candles so there should be continuously light all the way until it comes time to have ma'arif. Because you're going to have to wait until it gets perfect 100% 100% dark. You have to wait until it's vada, it says hakachavim. In the meantime, it's pretty dark. It's very uncomfortable sitting in shul. But on the other hand, if I'm going to light it now during mincha, it's hachona from mincha to ma'arif. So it's a very big problem. If you're in shul in a situation, it's not nogei halacha l'maaseh b'zman hazeh because say electricity. But if you're in shul, you're going to want to light the candles during mincha time, and you're really lighting it for kavana for ma'arif, it's hachona from mincha from today for tomorrow. So the answer is it's not a problem. What? Oh, so because by daytime you don't need lights. When it's day, when you're drinking soda, they're actually having benefit. I'm going to put a bottle of soda in the refrigerator, and before I go to mincha, 5 minutes before shkia, I'm going to take a sip. But over here, I'm lighting the candles when it's light outside, and when there's light outside, the candles are not providing any benefit. Since there's still light outside, what benefit is a candle providing when it's lit? So there is no benefit. It's not like I'm lighting. So the answer is, exactly, it makes the shul look nice. When you light candles are not only lit in order to give light. Candles are lit for kavod. Yeah. Go to a bris milah in the morning, when the sun is shining, they're supposed to light candles. Anytime you had a simcha, there's an end of lighting candles. Candles are kavod. So lighting candles in shul is not only for illumination, it's also for the kavod by sakneses. That's why there is no issue of hachana lighting candles in shul mincha time, even though your primary kavana is that the candle should remain lit through the evening and when you'll need it for its light.
This is a big problem when you have a varfing on Shabbos, and the kids, you tell the kids, put it away, and after Shabbos you come and take your candies.
Wait, what's the problem? What's sitting and what's the problem?
For Shabbos, Kodesh Lechah. They tell the kids, you want to grab the candies, and they say, no, what am I doing? I can't take it home. There's no way.
So they put it away. What's the problem putting it away? You're putting it away for today also. Shouldn't get lost by mincha. You're putting away for Yom Tov itself. When people come back from mincha, you don't want all those adults stealing the candy of the children. So when it comes mincha time, it's not shame in the shul. All the candy should be lying all over the place. So they're putting away for Shabbos also. The law should not be stolen. You don't want it to be misplaced. You'll have to take the law. You'll have to take the sitter home. If you go on Yom Tov, you'll have to take the sitter home. I don't need the sitter. The yishuv hadas, knowing that my sitter is not going to be lost or stolen out of place, that's a reason to give you simcha and yishuv hadas and Yom Tov as well. Okay, halacha gimel. Nachri shehevi. Now here we go to the laws of nachri shehevi. Yom Tov rishon dogim aperos. Sheyesh lacha shema nitzoydoi hayoyim or nitlishu hayoyim. Now he gives over here two examples, and there's a very big nafkamina. Here's where the Mishnah Berurah and the Poskim are chalik on the Kitta Shulchan Aruch. Here there are two issues. Number one, it's Yom Tov. On Yom Tov there's an Isra of Tchum. Just like there's an Isra of carrying outside the Tchum on Shabbos, there's a prohibition to carry outside the Tchum on Yom Tov. A Nachri, a non-Jew, brings for a Jew, or brings for himself, he brings something Michutz L'Tchum on Yom Tov. Are you, the Jew, allowed to derive benefit? That's situation number one. Situation number two, it's not just that he brought outside the Tchum, he did a Melacha D'Oraisa. He cut, he removed the fruit from the tree. The fish were trapped. Seder is one of the Lamed Tes Melachas. So here he did Mamish Melacha. So the basic rule is that if a guy does a Melacha Mamish, then it's Aser. Because if a guy does a Melacha for a Jew on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to derive benefit because of a Gezerah. If you'll derive benefit from the Melacha that the guy did for the Jew, he may come next Shabbos to ask him to do it for you, and that will be a violation of Amiro La'akam. Even on the Shabbos, you didn't tell the guy to do it. I didn't tell you to do this for me. I didn't ask you to do this malacha for me. The guy, I know, but I know you need it, so I did it for you. You're not allowed to derive benefit. Gzeira, if we're going to let the Jew derive benefit this Shabbos, next Shabbos he's going to outright ask him, can you please do the malacha for my benefit? It's a clear violation. That halacha goes so far, even from one day Yom Tov to the next day Yom Tov. That if the guy did a malacha for you today, on the first day Yom Tov, you're not allowed to derive benefit from the melacha tomorrow. Oh, but don't we have a general rule that a beitza shenol de Yom Tov is mutter on the second day Yom Tov? If an egg is laid on the first day Yom Tov, you're allowed to eat the egg on the second day Yom Tov. Yeah, that's when the egg is laid by itself. No one did a melacha. The egg happened by itself. So it's muksa. It's noil on the first day. The second day is a different day. It's sekad yoma. One of these 2 days is chol. You can be mekel. But when it comes to a goy, amiru la'akum, it's also to ask a goy to do melacha today for tomorrow, and it doesn't make a difference if he's doing it from one day to the next day. You're not allowed to ask him to do melacha, so it doesn't make a difference. It's always going to be aser. Now, the first case that we mentioned is a little bit different, because there he's going in a case where the guy did not do a melacha. The guy brought something outside the tchum. Bringing something outside the tchum does not make the object aser. It makes the object is the same object. The only problem is the object has been transferred. So the only restriction you have is you can eat the object, you can use the object, you can move the object within Dalet Amos. When the object has been brought from outside the tchum, the object cannot travel more than Dalet Amos, but the object is not muksa. Therefore, you can eat the object in the location where the object is found. If the object has been brought into your bayis, so the entire bayis becomes like Dalet Amos, you're allowed to eat the object, the food in the bayis. Let's see what it says inside one more time. So, Nachli, one more time. So the animal you are allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to take the meat outside of the bayis. Or if the animal
the place where you shecht
it outside of its Dalet Amos, it's not muksa. According to most poskim, something that has been brought from outside the tchum is not muksa. It's not muksa. The melacha was not done to the object itself. It was just transferred. Tchum is much more lenient. You can derive benefit, but the benefit you derive may not be derived outside of its Dalet Amos where it's resting, because it's chus tchum. Let's see inside one more time. Nachri shehevi biyamtif rishon dogim aperis. He brought that. Okay, he brought. So here it's a child being born in chus tchum. Sheyesh lochash. Now there are two concerns. Number one is the concern of tchum, and there's a bigger concern of maybe a maisa, a melacha deraisa was done. Sheyesh lochash. Shema nitzoyde hayam, it was trapped today. Ay nitlashu hayam, it was detached from the tree today. Ay huvu michutz tchum. So the law is asurim hayam. Now again, we don't pass down the case of Shulchan Aruch according to many opinions, because he's grouping them together. He's grouping together the case of Tchum and the case of Kitzira and Tzeda. Halacha l'maisa, we only pass on this when it comes to Tzeda and Kitzira, but now when it comes to Tchum, Asurim Hayom B'Tiltul, today it's also B'Tiltul, Ula Erev Mutarim, and but in the evening it's Mutar, She'im Ho'en Yehudi Makiroi, but it's going to be mut. Now, why is it mut? Because this instance is a case where the guy did not do it for the Jew. The guy did it for his own benefit. He did it for his own benefit, so it's also today, but it's mutter the next day. If the guy knows the Jew, and the guy, oh, you know, I brought this for myself, but once already I'm here, I'll give it to you, and he's not going to charge you, so you're allowed to take it from him. Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah, except the 2 days Rosh Hashanah, because then we go L'chumra that it's Yom Arichta Sha'afi L'chuvu B'yom Rishon Asrim B'yom Sheni. Let's read the next halacha. But halacha Dabod Im Hevi Yom Hanachui B'Shvil Yisrael. The previous case was the guy brought it on his own. The guy did not know that a Jew was present. Once he arrives with the goods, he says to the Jew, "Ah, you know what? I brought this here, so you might as well derive benefit. You're not allowed to derive benefit on that very day itself, because Zero, you may come to tell him to do the malacha on your behalf. But the next day we can be makel. 2 days Yom Tov, you can eat it on the next day, that's mutter. But in a situation where the guy did it b'shvil Yisrael, im hevim hanachri b'shvil Yisrael, le'doyren as a gift, oy l'machim lo, then we're more machmir, you're not even allowed to derive benefit on the second day of Yom Tov. Yesh le'esra gam b'yom tov sheni, v'im chal yom tov b'yom chamish. Let's say it's a 3 day Yom Tov, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So then, right, 3 days, 2 days Yom Tov, 1 day Shabbos. They're referring to the letter to the Eretz of the Shabbos Jewish Journal, where someone detests people. They say it's called a 3 day Yom Tov. There's no thing as a 2 day Yom Tov. It's a 2 day Yom Tov and 1 day Shabbos. Okay, so what? Colloquial way of referring to this situation is a 3 day Yom Tov. That's the way we refer to it. V'imchal yom tov b'yom chamishi v'yom shishi v'hevi b'yom chamishi. So here he says a chiddush that we can be makel. This far Chazal did not go, even though the guy brought it for the Yisrael, since it's 3 days and we have an erev tafshilin for Shabbos, we can be makel. Im yesh tzarch gadol mutar l'taltalon b'yom hashishi u'levashlam l'chvayt Shabbos.
Brought on Thursday,
because then no, then not, because then it's bo b'yom. The ma'isa Avera, if the Maisa Avera was done Bo Bayom, you're not allowed to derive benefit. When it's 2 days Yomtiv, so it's Sekhet Yoma. 1 day is really Chol, so that's why you can be Mekel. Unless the guy did it for the Jew. If the guy did it for the Jew, then Chazal Machmir, because you may come next time to ask him to do it to you deliberately, outright. And that's certainly forbidden. So they were Machmir. But when the guy, but when it's going to be a 3 day Yomtiv, so then if he brought on Thursday, we can be Mekel on the second day, Sekhet Yoma, for preparation for Shabbos. But of course, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Yom Arichta, then you don't have this leniency of Sfek Diyom, you have to be Machmer. Halacha, hey, Hachelev, Shecholva, Ein Yehudi, Cholov, Cholov, Milk, Shecholva, Ein Yehudi, Berishon, on the first day of Yom Tov, Yishol, Ehu, and Yishol is watching, remember, it's not a Shaila of Cholov Akum, who is no Chash that he's mixing in this milk, milk of a Chazir, or milk of an unkosher animal, so Muteres, Biyom, Sheni, milk appears to be the exception. The im cholva b'shabbos. I don't know why is milk the exception. Milking an animal, we discussed at great length. It's a shayla of a deraisa. Milking an animal is tlisha, toilish, nefarik, toilish. It's noilad. There are many assumed deraisa with regard to milk, but for some reason, when it comes to milk, maybe because the milk gets spoiled over here. I don't know why. Sabalichaim. Okay, so maybe that's what we'll make. I don't know. That will be we'll make when it comes to milk from the second day Yom Tov it's mutter. But the im cholva b'shabbos the yom rishon hu Yom Tov. But that's only true when it comes to 2 days Yom Tov, because you can reply upon the leniency that steak of the yom, one of the 2 days is really chol. But when it's Yom Tov back to back with Shabbos, even 2 days Yom Tov, Shabbos Yom Tov, then there is no reason to be lenient. It's being mechin from 1 day to the next day. The im cholva b'shabbos the yom rishon hu Yom Tov asura b'yom rishon period over rosh hashanah im cholva b'yom rishon shal Yom Tov asura. Because the same reason, the Gam B'Shabbos HaSamachla, and it's 3 days, the same exact problem, because you're being Mechin from Yom Tov to Shabbos, or Shabbos to Yom Tov, there is no solution.
Eretz Yisrael, the whole Israel,
they have
dots, one is never milked on Shabbos, even by the machines.
Never milk. So how about the Tzav al-Chayim?
They sell it to the...
It doesn't have to happen automatically by machines. It's a technology. Done on Shabbos, they sell it to a... They don't use it. Who do they give it to? To the Arabs?
No, they give it to the other...
The Chilonim. Let them suffer, right? That's strange. That's a very strange thing to say, that it's not good enough for Haredim, it's good for Chilonim. That's a very big no-no.
They don't eat it the same day.
What?
They don't drink it the same
day. So if it's good for the Chilonim, it's good for us. Good for
the second day. So
it should be the second day. Okay, I don't know. You have to see.
What they would really do is they would milk it onto the ground.
Yeah, so let them go to waste.
They don't do that.
So what do they do with it?
It goes into the holding tank.
Okay, so they have special holding tanks. They can clean out the machines. They can differentiate. They have the technology. They can differentiate between Shabbos and Chol. They can give it to the Arabs, or they can give it to Goyim, or they can just spill it out. Or they can be good for everyone. They can find a solution. They can find a solution that it's good for everyone. It'll bring the price down. Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa.
That's the rice.
Vav, okay, next halacha. Pesilais shehidlik b'chem v'yam tov rishon k'vokavu. Okay, last halacha of the simen, the wicks that have been hidlik b'chem v'yam tov rishon v'chavu, and they have extinguished, they've gone out. Motu l'halik b'chem v'yam tov sheni, you're allowed to use the wicks the second night. If the way the wicks have gone out on the first day Yom Tov has made themselves prepared for the second day Yom Tov, that is okay. Even though the process of going out, that's indirect, that was not my kavana, so you can use these wicks that have gone out on the second day. Ach b'shnei Yom Tov shel Rosh Hashanah, also l'halik b'yom tov b'psila shekava b'yom rishon. Then we have mal machmir because yom arichta. The afilu b'kotza hasheni, even the opposite side, because the only reason why you're able to use the opposite side was because the first side went down. But you're allowed to move it out of the way because you're moving it for a purpose. You're moving it for a purpose in order to prepare for the next. You're allowed. No, now you can't. That's achana. You have to wait until Shabbos. But the thing is, now when I'm going to do it the next day or on Shabbos, the only reason why I have this wick was because the malacha was done the day before. So what occurred the day before was a hachana. hachana, an indirect hachana for today. That he's saying is problematic. The only reason why you have a wick for today is because the way it burnt out yesterday. So if it's 2 days Yom Tov, you can be mekel, because 1 day is Vaday Chol. But when it's Yom Tov back with Shabbos, or vice versa, or it's 2 days Rosh Hashanah, then you don't have that excuse, and you have to be machmer.
Okay, let's ask you, when the 2 days Yom Tov end of the first day, you can prepare the Neironim for the second
day? No, at the end of the first day, no. You have to wait until the second day, it's completely over. No, you're not allowed to make any preparations. Any preparations may not begin until it's Seh Sakrachavim. You have to wait until it's Seh Sakrachavim to make the preparations for the second day Yom Tov. The lighting, Halakha Snare, on the second day is always done after Seh Sakrachavim.
Yeah, but preparing it also.
Preparing also, 100%. It's even worse. It's Hachana. Lighting, maybe you can say, I'm lighting, it's already the second day. I need the light. It's covered for Yom Tov. But the preparation to take away the old, well, it's all these probably really totally zebazeh. There is an opinion that says that you do light candles early. It's not universal. There are people that light the candles the second day Yom Tov early, and they hold that it's like Tosfos Yom Tov that you're really lighting for the second day. It's not considered to be hachana because it's really. But not when it's Shabbos. When it's Shabbos, then you have, of course, then everyone agrees you have to wait until it says hachana to light the candles of Yom Tov. So let's see the Shem Halacha. There's only one here.
You see this, if the Shabbos comes after Yom Tov,
you
have to light it early. Right? Because
when the other way around, you mean the other way around. When Shabbos comes, right, Friday, then that's Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin, that's the Erev Tavshilin allows you to do. Everything. Erev Tavshilin is for everything. It's also Achana. It's for everything. Erev Tavshilin allows everything, even lighting. Okay.
But you're not allowed to say, I'm
preparing
this for Shabbos.
You are allowed to say Erev Tavshilin.
It means you're preparing for Shabbos once in your lifetime.
That's the lumbus of Erev Tavshilin, but Mikra Adin is allowing Achana. Erev Tavshilin
allows it, but you can't say, I'm doing this for tomorrow.
Possibly, I don't know. I don't know.
Erev Shabbos. You say, I'm cooking for tomorrow's guest.
I'm supposed to.
It's no good.
No good, no good.
So why should lift be different?
Well, lift, it's clearly.
Your husband, let's say, prepare me to Shabbos lech. She can't say that because you just like she would say.
Well, yeah, but I don't know the answer. I don't know.
If someone says to someone in the house, right here, add more water to the samovar. We should have plenty of water for Shabbos. You can't say that. Because it's only for today. You're preparing guests.
Just in case, guess.
You can't say prepare Shabbos for tomorrow.
Okay, it could be. I don't know the answer. Let's see the Shu'arim Mitzionim Behalacha, Halacha Ois Aleph. Ayhuva Michusit Chom. Ayin Beshulchanach, Beim Shigar, Doran Lechaver, Aide Nachri, Me'erev Yom Tov, Benitzakeith Hanachri. You send the letter. You send the letter, Erev Yom Tov. And the letter will lie, and the letter will lie. Yeah, ve'heviyam biyom tov michutz l'tchum mutter. And the letter Allah arrives on Yom Tov michutz l'tchum mutter, it is mutter. There is no problem, period. Ve'ayin biber heitev, de'im ha'shaleach yoydeh ha'shayelach b'shabbos v'yom tov asa. But if you know for a fact that, why? Because the same idea, because the malacha was not being done. The malacha was not my fault. The malacha should have been done before Shabbos. The reason why it's been done on Shabbos, that's the Nachri. The guy, he messed up. But if you know as a fact that the letter is going to be delivered on Shabbos, then in the Chanami, it's us. It's Amir Eliakim. I'm telling a guy to do malacha for me, on my behalf, or for someone else, for another Jew on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're not allowed to derive benefit from malacha that's been done through Amir Eliakim. Amir Eliakim is us. V'ayin behagoyis ma'asham. For both people are deriving benefits. Since the malacha is being done was done in a way that is forbidden, I'm telling the guy to deliver the letter on Shabbos. So the recipient is still being nana. He's being nana from someone else's avera. Isn't that the general rule that you're not allowed to be nana if someone cooks? If someone is Michal Shabbos and he cooks a dish. So no one, even a perfect person who is not meant for, is also not allowed to derive benefit. Since the food was cooked, the Isser, so no one's allowed to derive benefit. But the guy was delivering it through an Aveira. The guy was told to deliver it, Shleikadin. Mir Yakum is also. So you want to say it's more lenient?
Okay,
I don't know.
Overnight letter.
It is also to derive benefit. I'm not sure. Maybe one.
It doesn't mean that
you order, maybe the only situation when you order something from Amazon, and one day delivery. One day delivery, I'm ordering on Friday, and I demand, I can select 2 days, 5 days, 7 days, and I choose no, I want it tomorrow on Shabbos.
Will be home to accept delivery.
I want it tomorrow on Shabbos.
What?
Thursday, Friday, so 2 days, it's problematic. 2 day delivery, you're instructing the guy, I'm merely asking to do malacha for you Thursday, and you know for a fact that it's going to come on Shabbos. So, it's
possible that it could come on Friday, but it's doubtful.
It seems like it's a problem.
Most time, if you order even 5 days, it's something, by the way.
It depends. Varies. Everything depends. It's getting the deliveries.
They want it for exactly 2 days
because they don't want you to think they.
That's for what?
Money.
What? That's.
I think they very rarely will deliver it before 2 days.
Because they know that if every time they do 2 days, you'll get in 1 day. You'll never be inclined to have 1 day delivery. 5 days also.
Between ground and air.
Even though it's already available, many times it's already available earlier. Lahachas. Well, depends on the carrier, depends on the time of the year, the carrier, the many different variables.
Tell you a lot of times, you know, on the same FedEx or whatever it is.
Thursday, even mailing a letter.
It's written on it.
Yeah, because so they're doing it. But if you are demanding the inachnami, it appears that it would be problematic. The ayin be'agoyis marsham be'echot shesholach lechaver dogim. And they don't charge until it's delivered?
They don't charge you when you make the order.
No?
They charge you when they send it, when it's shipped.
Uh-huh. But that's only when it's shipped, but they don't care when it arrives. They don't care when it arrives. And sometimes they can take a week until they ship it.
And then they wouldn't charge you.
For a week?
Yeah.
They're a week. They don't charge it, right? They don't. It's very frustrating until they'll finally ship something.
I made a big mistake in the business. They're not to ship stuff on Friday, especially if it went prepaid. They started yelling at me, and I called up the road. I called up, you know, the
Sabbath,
and he came down and he told them, I'm right, you know, no more Friday shipments because they don't leave till Saturday morning. That's when they actually didn't know that. And I didn't know either. Saturday morning is when they consolidate the ship. And sometimes, if it's not a very long trip, they actually pick it up and deliver it on Shabbos.
On Shabbos. A merely akum. It's even worse. That's really bad. It's one thing when you send an order, so you don't know. You're saying something else. 2 day delivery, you don't know when they're going to ship it, right?
Oh, you wouldn't allow it.
I don't know. I don't know the story. Every situation is different. But let's say like the fulfillment center, Amazon. Sometimes you get
2 day delivery. You will get it in 2 days.
Right.
But that's only if it's shipped from the fulfillment center. If they have a lot of partners, a lot of private vendors.
If it has check mark for Amazon Prime,
yeah,
get it in 2 days.
Right.
That means they have it in their center.
Means either that or they have an arrangement with the supplier.
They're going to guarantee it in 2 days.
Right.
Okay, so then you're asking for trouble. You're asking, you're telling a guy to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. That's really, really what it results in. You're asking a guy to do a malacha on Shabbos, and that's not proper. It's not proper to tell a guy to do a malacha. When you put something in the mail, so then I'm not telling you when to pick it up. You're picking it up for your own benefit. I'm not instructing you. I'm not instructing you to pick up the mail today. You want to pick up. I happen to know that you're going to pick up the mail today. And also, you're not only picking up my mail, you're picking up other people's mail. It's also one malacha. When they take out the crate, when they take out the carton from the mailbox, they're taking it. They're doing malacha. That they're not doing it only for you. They're doing one malacha that involves many, many, many people. And I didn't tell them. I don't have a hakpada that they should do bedafka on Shabbos. But when you're specifying 2 days, when you have a choice over 5 days. And you're specifying 2 days. Why 2 days? Because they're giving you for free. If you have Prime, they give you.
Not free, but you can get it.
Yeah, it's half the price.
It's less. So, I don't know the answer. I don't know. We've got to look into this more. The ayin goes masham echad shosholach lechaver dogim al yidei habei doar. A person delivered fish to the post office. Do they do that anymore today? You allowed to send food in the post office? You're allowed to send fish, the whole place, the whole...
Send food through the mail?
Fish?
Is
depends on if they won't allow you to put dry ice in it, because it looks bad when you see the smoke coming out. So they don't allow dry ice, so that's going to be a problem. But if it's going on an airplane, there's no problem, because people don't realize that it can go up soft and it'll come down like a brick, because up in the airplane, in the cargo hold, it's like minus 30. And, you know, it's not insulated like the cargo. Like the cargo cabin is freezing. So,
people ship their Pesach orders, they order over here in New York and they send it down to Florida.
They send it out to Florida? Refrigerated truck. Okay, let's go further. The ayin gagoyes ma'asham and the biyachad shalach lechaver dog ma'idei abei doav v'yodeh sheolichem b'yom tov ubo b'yom tov liyad lishol chaver michus l'tchom kosav shom dikevon the al yidei habei doar mutur l'shtoch t'mash kosav. Through the post office you're allowed to send, because when you send to the post office, at least in ancient times, there's no set. And today technology has changed so much, we can track everything to the second, to the location. But in ancient times, the post office was mutter, because there's no guarantee. The guy could do whatever he wants. He's not under pressure. He's not being watched. And he doesn't have to do it on Shabbos. You're not telling him to do it on Shabbos. And if he does it on Shabbos, that's his business. So when you do it through the post office, mutter l'shloach, l'asher kosav, imkein lekel l'mezor shema yamul haviba yisr. There's no concern that next time it has arrived on Shabbos through the post office, it's mutter. There's no concern that next Shabbos I'm going to tell the guy to deliver it on Shabbos. That's when it comes to the post office. Chamash kosav in ancient times. Chamash kosav magin Avram. Ulechein in kaniser tchumin. There's no problem of tchumin. The rak mishum. Why is there no problem of tchum? The rak mishum muksa. Hayimakom le'asar v'talya v'pluksa. There's the issue of muksa. Muksa, I mean if it comes outside the tchum, something which has come from outside the tchum, maybe it should be considered to be muksa because you did not realize it was not available to you. Something that's outside the tchum was muksa before Shabbos began. It was huksa midas. I had no ability to come in contact with this object, and now it has arrived in my premises. V'tali b'pluksa b'lmogin avram yesh le'eser u'le'el yirabah. Mutter gam below how you die to me esmol, even if you did not know about it. This is the machlokes. Is there muksa with something that arrives chutz litchum? The kids of Shulchan Aruch above seem to indicate there is a din muksa. However, he says that not everyone agrees to this principle. In the article kids of Shulchan Aruch, they tell you that halacha lemaisa, all the poskim say that there is no iser muksa when it comes to yadavah that came in chutz litchum. I had no idea that this thing would be available to me before Shabbos. When Shabbos began, I thought that this thing was in China, was the other end of the world. I had no idea that today it would arrive today. That's not a problem of muksa, but it is a problem of davar that was yatzo chutz litchum. So you may not take the object that has arrived from outside the tchum more than dalit amos. Mutter gam below how you died to me. That's when came in sin shechaveru hoydil sheyishlach loy. In this instance, when your friend told you in advance that he's sending you a package and it's going to arrive, you don't even have the problem of muksa l'chol hadeis, because you expect it to arrive at some point in time. The yad yosef when you send this person the package through the post office and it arrives on Yom Tif, you are allowed to derive benefit. There is no isser of muksa and there is no isser of amir liakum, because the guy is working on his own benefit. Therefore, there's no gzer that next week you're going to tell the guy to do it on your behalf, because here the guy, you're not telling the guy to do it for you. The guy did it here for his own benefit. It's not part of the gzer. But again, today I don't know if all of this applies, because today the post office, he's saying over here, we deal with two-day shipping. Everything today is tracked. Everything, they try to give you an exact estimate when the package is going to arrive. So all the rules of sending things for the post office may not necessarily apply. There's not like that. Today, even fine, that's a shayla of tchum. Tchum is only shayla of once the package arrives, he may not go outside dalet amos. Tchum is a very small problem today, because when the package arrives today, where are you taking it already? You're taking it to shul? You're taking it out of the house? Maybe yes, but let's say.
Where it's transferred at least two times.
But even if the object arrives, okay, in the footnotes of the article, it makes it very clear. Even if the object arrives from outside the tchum, the only problem is you may not take the object more than dalet amos. Your entire house considered to be one big dalet amos, so there would not be a problem of taking the object and using it in your own house. Breaking open the box is generally not a problem because you're doing something destructive. Shail is that it's a near. The main problem appears to be a nirul akam. I'm telling a guy to do a malacha mar bihef on Shabbos, my benefit on Shabbos. If I'm ordering it from before Shabbos, until modern times, when you send something in the post office, you don't know when it's going to come. There's no guarantee. They don't guarantee it'll come 5 days, 7 days. Shabbos, they work, they don't work. You don't know when it's going to come. There's no guarantee. So when it happens to arrive on Shabbos, good for you. I didn't tell the guy to do it for me on Shabbos, did it for his own benefit. There's no amir liakum. Come outside the tchum. Well, in New York City, there's no problem of tchum, generally speaking. Even there is a problem of tchum, so you'll be machmir. You won't go and take it outside of your house. Your whole house will be one big dalet amos. Opening the package is not a problem. What about muksa? I never expected this to happen. There's no problem with muksa. Muksa is the only problem when it was mamash huksa midas. Even when it's something that's outside the tchum, there's generally, according to Eli Rabba, there's no problem with muksa. And even the people that hold it, there is a problem with muksa. That's only when you didn't know about it altogether. If I ordered it online, of course I know about it. So the muksa problem goes away. But all of this may indeed change in today's modern day and age, because then when you order something, you can basically predict, like you're saying, and Rav Nechemiah is saying, you can basically predict exactly when this object is going to arrive. And maybe if you go and you put into motion, you click those buttons, you're putting into motion, you're telling the guy to deliver the package on Shabbos Mamish. So maybe there is a real problem of Amir Liakum. Could very well be. There is such a problem today. I don't know the answer. Yeah. What? Because they'll come in the afternoon when it's after Shabbos. Possibly that could also be possibly a fact of when they'll arrive. But they don't really work that late. The post office, they don't work past 3 o'clock. You ever see the mail? UPS depends who the carrier is.
But if you order it, let's say on Wednesday, and you don't care that it should have to come in Shabbos, so then
it's not out of you caring. Today we live in such a complicated world. When you press the buttons, it basically tells you the package will arrive on this date.
Guaranteed.
And sometimes it comes early.
It doesn't mean it will come.
Many times it comes earlier.
They give you a card or they take it back.
It can come a day early. Maybe the fact that it can come early is a factor.
It's for Israel stuff. It's got to be before the shift, before we go to there. So she orders it. If it's not by that day, she doesn't want it.
Could be, okay, in a chanami. But when they tell you it's going to come, let's say, guaranteed by, it can very well come a day, half, it comes early, so then in a chanami, it's not no problem. But when you're doing a two-day shipping, or doing it overnight, I mean, you're dealing with ruba de ruba, you go bust after statistics, it's going to come on Shabbos. So it appears that it really, I don't know, it appears there's a real problem with real Yaakov. Okay, we'll stop here, take a